It's episode 153 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing the films Logan Lucky, Wind River, and Brigsby Bear. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com. Or look for us on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe, or head on over to Facebook. Search for the Hodgepodge Podcast and like our page. And on our last episode, our friend Matt King was here and discussed his book series, The Circle War. Go buy it.
Do it.
King
Do
Writes,
it.
Kingwrites.com. And we're actually recording this back-to-back, if I have to be honest. So sorry to ruin the mystique for everybody.
His aura is still here.
He's still, his seat is empty, but he's still here. Some movie news. Inhumans, it's coming.
If you say so.
September 1st, it's going to be in IMAX. One of our friends was trying to put together a trip to go see it, and everyone's like
anyone,
no.
Anyone interested? Nope.
It looks awful.
It really
it looks
does.
So
doesn't
bad. I don't know what they're thinking with that.
Yeah, I'm not going to bother with that show.
I probably won't. I mean, I'll probably wait till maybe it comes on Netflix or something like that, but...
I'm not going to bother with it. I watch enough of that crap.
Yeah. Are you still watching Gotham? You're not watching Gotham.
No. Okay. I gave that one up.
Okay.
They screwed up the whole idea of that show, so fucked.
I know, yeah. It's fucking terrible.
Your general audience is like, oh, I get to see Joker. Oh, I get to see Riddler. But it's like, the timeline makes no sense, goddammit. Like, what? Are y'all not... Well, understanding that the timeline makes no sense, that these villains already show up goddamn 20 years before he becomes Batman? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Where's Batman? I think in the next season, though, they're kind of pushing him. He's like a teenager now, so they're kind of pushing him towards being Batman.
Duh, this is terrible.
It's fucking terrible. That kid was he was good in the first episode, like when the parents got killed. Like, he was good for that, but I'm just like, they cast him way too young. Like, he should have been a little bit older so that you could have made it believable that he was going to become Batman.
It just, the premise of the show fell apart for me once they just, literally back to back, just introduced all these villains. That,
right.
That's not, the show was supposed to be about, we were told,
Jim Gordon
as a cop.
Right.
Just have him fighting normal fucking criminals.
Yeah, the fucking mob.
You know, it's not like you can't create some zany characters,
right.
But they don't have to be the Riddler
right.
And the fucking Joker.
Right.
You know, and as soon as they just, like, introduce three villains back to back, you know, first they start with the Penguin.
Right.
And you're like, well, all right, they're giving some
Because he's older.
They're giving some tie-in.
Right, he's
older.
They've
created a young Cobblepot guy.
Right.
All right. And then all of a sudden, here comes the Riddler.
Right.
And then they introduce Catgirl.
Right.
And then the Joker, it's like, nope, I'm done. Yeah. They've spun out of control.
Now they brought isn't Mr. Freeze in it?
And Mr. Freeze now. I don't watch, but yeah. It's just spun way out of control.
Right.
I was like, a few seasons ago, I was like, I'm done.
Right.
No more.
Yeah, I don't get that show.
I don't either.
But yeah, Inhumans. We talked about Defenders on our last episode. That was kind of a disappointment. We're hoping Punisher will be better. That probably come out probably November, December-ish, probably. Hopefully that'll be good. But who knows? Who knows? They'll start doing Daredevil. I think Matt said it was October. Daredevil will start season 3. And if you saw Defenders, you know where Daredevil ends up at the end of that. So it should be interesting.
Yep.
Probably they'll bring the Kingpin back, which will be good.
That'll be
Vincent D'Onofrio.
They'll need that.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he's fantastic on that show. But that's pretty much it. Oh, you just said you just looked up that this past weekend was
the worst box office weekend since 2014.
Yeah.
But, you know, nothing came out this weekend. Really nothing came out last weekend. Well, that's not true. That's when, it's last weekend when Wind River and... these movies were gonna, did they come out? They did.
Yes, they did.
So I take it back. It's more of a marketing thing, really.
Yeah.
Because as we'll talk about, one of these, I mean, these are good movies, but
yeah,
certainly there's one big standout.
Yeah.
That should have gotten a lot more praise.
Yeah, for sure.
So
I was just checking to see where Dunkirk was. Dunkirk fell out of the top five.
That's not surprising.
But yeah, it's been out for over a month.
Yeah,
but it hung in there for a while. I mean, it's doing really well. Let's jump into.
I think Annabelle's still up in there. Right?
I think so. I think it was Hitman's Bodyguard was number one. Annabelle's two. Yeah. Leap, a new animated movie, looked terrible.
Yeah.
Wind River, which we're going to talk about, is number four, and that was just barely ahead of Logan Lucky, which was number five.
Yeah, which. I guess we can get into that.
Yeah.
But that they've, I've seen some texts on that where it's bad news for original ideas when Logan Lucky tanked at the box office. That was really bad for Hollywood,
especially with that cast.
Giving creative ideas out there. So
yeah. And of course, the other movie we'll be discussing today, Bigsby Bear. You probably can't find it in theaters already.
It's already out.
At least around here. It was in theaters for a week.
So, we'll
start with Logan Lucky. Okay.
That was the first bigger one.
Yeah, that was the bigger one. That was the one we saw first. Well, actually, I saw Logan Lucky and Wind River the same day.
This is Steven Soderbergh.
Steven Soderbergh.
New vehicle.
Steven Soderbergh left feature filmmaking for a little while. He did...
The Nick. He
did the Nick. He focused on some
TV stuff.
What was that, on Showtime?
The Nick was... Yeah, Showtime.
Okay. So he did the Nick with Clive Owen, who's another guy. You're like, where the hell's he been?
Yeah.
On the Nick. And that show got rave reviews. I've never gotten around to watching it. I do want to watch
it,
though.
They announced that they won't be picking it back up.
I think it was too expensive, wasn't it, or something like that? Well, that was one of the reasons.
There was a multitude of reasons, but one of the bigger ones may have been the direction Soderbergh wanted to take it.
Oh, really?
He wanted it to be more of an anthology series.
Mm.
So while the next season, he even talked about it being set, like, I think during maybe World War I,
mm-hmm.
And being all in black and white.
Okay.
I don't think Showtime completely bought into that.
Yeah.
So that, I think that might have been the straw
where
it came back on renewing it.
Soderbergh, he made a big splashy quote retirement from feature filmmaking. He did TV stuff. He did Behind the Candelabra, the Liberace story for HBO. That was the last movie he had done. So Logan Lucky was his big return to feature filmmaking.
Return to form for...
And was trying... He said he was trying out a new distribution model with this movie. So,
how so?
I think he's involved with the distribution on some level. I think that's what he said for this one. He also did apparently another quote secret movie, which is going to be coming out eventually. Maybe that's the one he's doing the distribution model.
Okay.
I can't remember, but he's still producing and he's still like he's a producer on Ocean's 8, which is coming out next year.
He's definitely got the mindset for it. This movie is. Very Ocean's-esque.
Yes, Logan Lucky.
It's a hick version of
Ocean's 11. Yeah, they call it Redneck Ocean's 11, basically. And that's pretty much what it is. Before we get into all like the details and everything, I liked it. I thought it was funny. But to me...
It's fine.
Yeah. To me, it wasn't nearly as sharp or as consistently funny as Ocean's 11.
No. It's a very benign movie. It's just kind of there.
I felt like there was too much going on. I know he wanted to have, it has all the crazy characters in it, like Oceans does. And I think he wanted them to maybe be a little bit more complex, which is good. But there seemed to be a little too much going on with Channing Tatum's character. There were too many different things going on. And at the same time, I'm just like, why are you robbing this place again?
I didn't quite grasp that either. They didn't give him a direct motivation for robbing it. It's mentioned, like, I'm going to get a lawyer because I don't want you to take my daughter across the state lines or something like that. But
And he lost his job.
But again, it's like, so you want to go grab millions of dollars for that? Like, you're kind of going overboard.
Like, it was like
needing a lawyer.
Like, it was like, you know, he was like, he lost. Channing Tatum plays Jimmy Logan, who loses his construction job in the beginning of the movie at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. And they were fixing sinkholes, and they were shoring up underneath the track and everything like that. And he loses his job because of an insurance liability, because he's got a bum leg, but all he does is drive like a forklift or a digger or whatever. He drives this thing, so that shouldn't really affect him. But the company, being a, you know, soulless company, said you're fired. And Then he immediately comes up with an idea to rob the place.
immediately turns this around. It's not like it's which, to be fair, in terms of the plot of how this works, it had to be
immediate. Yes, yes.
But still, it just seems like it was quite a leap,
right?
It's not like
the Ocean's movie where there's like an antagonist where they're like, we got to get that guy. And so now this is how we're going to get him, and we're going to rob his hotels. We're going to rob his casinos. So yeah, the reasoning for the heist is a little nebulous.
It is. That wasn't a sticking point for Soderbergh to hammer home,
right?
Because the end doesn't even go back to that,
right?
Like it's like, okay,
yeah. The writer on this was a writer named Rebecca Blunt. But if you read the history of this, people think that's not even a real person.
It's like him.
They think it could be Soderbergh himself.
Yeah, I believe that.
Some of the actors got emails from this person, and they thought that she was British or something like that. So it's not clear who this person is.
I believe that. That's something Soderbergh would do for sure.
Well, for sure. Yeah. He's totally all about like subterfuge and all that kind of stuff. So Jimmy needs to get the money. His brother Clyde, played by Adam Driver,
he's hilarious.
He lost his arm in the military. Was it Iraq? He was in Iraq. Yes. I think they said, I can't remember if it was Afghanistan or Iraq. So he lost his arm, and now he's a bartender. And probably the craftiest one of their family is their sister Melly, who's played by Riley Keough, and she's a hairdresser and a mean driver, we'll say. she can drive the hell of a car.
Yeah.
In order to break into the vault at the Motor Speedway, they need the assistance of one Joe Bang.
Introducing
Daniel Craig as Joe Bang, and he is easily the best part of this movie.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
He looks like he's having a ton of fun playing this character.
The scene when they're first inside that vault, or not inside the vault, but inside the room,
right?
That's fucking hilarious when he's explaining to them, and he's like writing like the chemical shit on the wall and trying to explain to them, you got gummy bears. Fucking great. I mean, it was hilarious.
Yeah,
worth the price of admission just for that, right?
yeah but there's a lot of and then he has two kind of dim-witted brothers and you can see how all the different characters kind of correspond to the Ocean's 11 characters. Like they're Scott Conn and Casey Affleck, like 100%.
Yes.
And
it's instead of being good with like gadgets and shit,
right,
they're just good with
a lot of stuff.
Hickey, redneck type of stuff. Right. Like it's,
but like, you know,
I know all the Googles and
I know all the Twitters.
I know all the Twitters.
So there is no Elliot Gould character. There's no Bankroll character because they don't need that, really. It's a fun movie, to be sure.
It is. It's very entertaining.
Katie Holmes plays Channing Tatum's ex-wife. And his daughter is played by Farrah McKenzie. She's an aspiring beauty queen.
More like her mom wants her.
It's a real toddlers and tiaras type thing.
So very much.
David Denman plays Katie Holmes, his current husband. That's what's his face from The Office.
Yeah.
What's his character's name? Roy. Roy from
Roy,
The Office.
Yes,
from
Roy,
the U.S. Office.
Pam's ex.
Yep. Yeah, Pam's ex. And there's other. Like Seth MacFarlane plays like this weird British guy.
That role didn't work for me at all.
Yeah, it didn't work for me at all.
That was an awful add-in. It didn't add. It, okay, it, so it did a little something for the plot.
Right.
But there were other, so many other ways you could have done
yeah.
that. His character was awful. So the whole time I'm going, what does he do again? Like, what kind of actor is he in? Not Seth MacFarlane, but what is this role? What is this character in this movie? I couldn't figure out what, because he's like some famous guy.
Yeah.
But I still to this day have no idea what it was he was famous for.
I guess he's supposed to be like almost like a Richard Branson type guy, I guess, maybe.
Yes, sure.
Sebastian Stan plays the driver. His driver in the race, and he's barely in this. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but both those that whole subplot thing completely unnecessary and stupid in my opinion.
But for me though, the biggest waste of time in the movie was Hilary Swank,
sure,
as the FBI agent who shows up in the last third
Five
of the
minutes,
movie.
Maybe?
Yeah, the last third of the movie, maybe. Yeah. Last 10, 20 minutes.
I mean, she's
minutes,
got maybe a handful of lines.
But it's like they should have done something to kind of weave her into the whole story, so she would have been like the antagonist for them.
Right.
So it was a very disjointed script. Like I said, it wasn't as tight nearly as Ocean's 11. Or even 13, for that matter. 12 is a little, you know, a little hammy, but because I hate, but even they had an antagonist. I don't like the antagonist in that movie because the fucking thief who thinks he's the best.
Yeah.
I hate
there, you're right. There is no antagonist in this movie. They're not fighting against anything.
Right. They're just up against time, basically, to rob the Speedway. But it is a fun movie. It's certainly not Soderbergh's best.
No.
But it's a fun movie to go see.
It's entertaining. You can't say it was for lack of marketing that this movie didn't make money, because they did market this movie. They were constantly showing trailers.
You know what
for
I think?
It.
You know what I think it is? Honestly, I think it's the fact that people were calling it like Redneck Ocean's 11 and that kind of stuff.
Almost
and
made it a niche.
No. I think what people thought was maybe people in the heartland and maybe in the South, they thought, well, they're just going to be making fun of us. And it's like, they don't. It's really not. Like they show that Channing Tatum...
I originally thought that.
Right. And they show that, you know, Joe Bang's really smart. Channing Tatum's really smart. They show that these people are not just dumb hicks. Like, they're like, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, they're just down on their luck people.
Right.
Or people that made bad decisions.
Exactly. Exactly. And, but it was, so there, if that's, you know, if you're in the South and you're listening to this, and that's why you didn't want to go see this movie, go see the movie, because it's not that at all.
It's not.
It doesn't talk
it's not
down.
Playing off of every stereotype.
Right, and it doesn't talk down to the audience at all. Like, it doesn't denigrate.
It's just telling a story just like Ocean's 11.
Right.
I mean, it's an inferior story, but it is a story.
Right. But, so Logan Lucky, check it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
I was mildly disappointed.
Yeah. Well, because we were expecting it to be like, woo! I remember the last movie I saw by Soderbergh in the theater, because I didn't go see Magic Mike. The last movie I saw was maybe Side Effects.
Oh, I love Side Effects.
And that was a huge surprise.
I loved Side
Effects.
Because,
like, you go to see Side Effects, and you're just like, this is going to be some stupid crap. It's so good.
That probably made even less money than this.
Oh, probably,
It did terrible, but it was so good.
It was a really good movie.
Oh, yeah.
Really good movie. So it's like, I was expecting something like that. Like, oh, Soderbergh's going to put it. And it's getting rave reviews. People, like, the critics love it, but I think they're just kind of happy that Soderbergh's just back doing, which is great.
It is a good movie. It is a solid movie.
Right, yeah.
It's just nothing special.
It's almost like when we saw like the RoboCop remake and stuff like that. You almost have to compare this to the Ocean's movies because it's the same kind of thing. The same thing will happen next year when the Lady Ocean's movie comes out, Sandra Bullock Anne Hathaway. You know, you're going to have to compare that to the Ocean's movies.
And get ready for the anti-feminist outcry.
Oh God,
because it's coming.
Yeah, it will. It will for sure. I'm hoping that that movie is better than Ghostbusters 2016.
Anyway, Logan Lucky. I'd say it's fine if you're going to want to go spend your $10 for it, but it's also fine if you choose to wait.
I mean, catch a matinee.
Yeah. Get your movie pass.
Get your movie pass. We didn't talk about movie pass.
Jen got hers.
Oh, she did?
My friend got hers.
I haven't gotten mine yet. Because they did send me an email, though, and they said because of the demand, they said it's going to take a little bit longer for you to get your card. they said, we're not going to bill you until, you know, because it was supposed to be like 2 weeks free.
Oh,
or something.
I already
like
got billed.
Oh, really?
Because I got mine the day it crashed. Maybe
you did you get your card? You didn't get your card yet?
No, but I paid for it and it already billed me. It billed me immediately when I signed up. Yeah.
That's weird. But they sent me an email.
I'm still waiting for that card.
They said mine'll show up. I think while I'm in Atlanta, it's going to show up or something like that.
Yeah, we got an email that said between the 5th and 6th, but some people may get theirs early. Anyway, different story.
Right.
MoviePass is great. It seems like it'll be great.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I hope it is.
The day of thing, yeah, we'll live with it.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, you buy one movie a month, you pay for itself.
Exactly. I mean, because that's the thing. It's like, you know, we generally go Thursday nights to go see movies. I would say a lot of the fall movies we're going to go see, it'll probably be okay to go there the night of and get the tickets, or the day of and get
honestly,
the tickets.
Honestly, Doug, it's normally okay any movie, unless it's a big movie.
But I know what I was going
to
say.
I know,
like,
you and I like to sometimes plan a week in advance.
Right.
It's unnecessary.
Though. Right, but for some movies like, you know, Star Wars.
Yeah, of course, right.
You know,
you won't
Justice
be able to
League,
use it for that.
Right, Justice League, yeah. Thor, probably, right. You know. Those big-ass movies, yeah. You know, you're paying for those. But still, I mean, we go to see how many movies a month.
As long as you use this thing once a month, it's paid for itself and then some. It's made you money.
Yeah, the other thing is, too, is, like, having this, it makes me, like, the screeners, why go do that? Because it's like, you're already getting the movie for free. It's like,
that's a good point.
Not, why am I going to go stand in line for 2 hours?
That's almost, to me, that's almost, it sounds odd, but to me, that's almost like that saves me a little bit of time because I don't have to, I'm not pigeonholed to see it on Thursday. You know, I've seen it on Monday.
Well, that's true too, but
sometimes it's
but that's the other thing too, is like you can go see it, you know,
the following Monday
or Tuesday or something like that.
So anyway, but yeah, going back, yeah, Logan Lucky, check it out. It's fun. Or wait, it's fun too.
We're kind of in
the middle of the road for that one. The next one though that we want to talk about, is a must see. I think.
Yeah, and this is another movie that the reviews are kind of not completely jibing with how I felt about it.
It's weird.
The reviews that are coming
out. Not
that
they're terrible.
No, they're good reviews. They're very good reviews. But they're always like it's always like a it's good, but and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, the movie we're talking about is Wind River. This is a movie
Wind River.
Using your hand there, Doc. this is a movie by Taylor Sheridan. This is his feature directorial debut. If you know that name, it's because you listened to our episodes about Sicario and Hell or High Water. He's the screenwriter for those two films.
And he's definitely got a specific tone about him.
He does, yeah.
Because tonally, all these movies are very much the same.
Yeah, this movie is pitch black.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a great movie.
It really is, and honestly,
I would say it's Jeremy Renner's best work probably since The Hurt Locker that I've seen him in.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
This movie was awesome.
Wind River, it's set in Wyoming at the Wind River Indian Reservation. And Jeremy Renner plays Corey Lambert, who is a U.S.
park ranger?
No, he's a fish and wildlife
Fish and wildlife. And he's kind of got into the reservation. He married into it.
Right, yeah. His wife is Native American and, ex-wife.
Ex-wife, right.
He's Native American. So he's taking his son to his maternal grandparents' place, you know, for the weekend or whatever. And his father-in-law is like, hey, we had a livestock get mauled. You know, can you check it out? And he's like, yeah, sure, I'll check it out. Yeah. So he goes...
He's contracted out to kill
wolves, coyotes that are threatening.
They didn't call it a wolf though. What was it they thought it was?
Oh no!
The lion.
Right, lion. They're mountain lions. But I'm just saying in general.
That's what he does. But in this particular case, like they're like, we've seen lions. We need you to go kill them.
And he's a tracker, basically a tracker and a hunter, basically. Right. And while he's out on his snowmobile, tracking these mountain lions, he comes across the body of a dead teenage girl. And it's a girl that he knows.
Who kind of, the leading of the movie shows her running away from,
and that's a beautiful shot.
It is. That's why I mentioned it, because it was awesome.
That is Natalie, played by Kelsey Asbill. And he knows her because
it's a very small knit community.
Right. So he knew who she was.
Honestly, this is a lot of what the movie's about, right? But this is the community itself is really small.
Right.
The population, they're super small.
Right.
The community smaller still. The only reason population is even as big as it is because they have outside workers mm-hmm. that are on this land contracting out for oil companies
right.
or gas companies and stuff like that.
Right. So the tribal police chief, Ben, played by Graham Greene, he comes out to the scene.
He was good.
And that, yeah, he was really good. I liked him a lot. He provides some much needed levity in this film. Yeah. He always has a sarcastic remark. And so they call the FBI in.
Levity, but also perspective.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Because he's
right. Cause he's seen it all right. out there. He knows what's going on. Much like, Tommy Lee Jones in both, No Country for Old Men and Hell or High Water.
Right.
That was Jeff Bridges. I'm getting same confused. Guy. Same guy.
Like, no, they're not.
That's right. Tommy Lee Jones from No Country for Old Men and Jeff Bridges from Hell or High Water. Right. I just forgot because he was just playing Rooster Cogburn. Rooster Cogburn. So they call the FBI to send somebody out because they're like, they think this is a murder. And it's because it's federal land, so the FBI has to get involved. And they send the greenest agent they can send in Elizabeth Olsen.
Right. She claims it's because she was the closest one.
Right. She was in Vegas or something.
Which may or may not be true. But you get the feel it's more because this is an Indian reservation. Right. And the FBI doesn't bother to, exactly. to deal with it.
Yeah. And if you watch the trailers for this film, you would probably think that the whole movie is just about Elizabeth Olsen. This is 100% Jeremy Renner's movie.
Oh, yeah.
She's great in this, and she has a very key part in the movie.
Absolutely.
She's the co-lead.
She is not the
She's not
star.
The focus. She's yeah. not the focus it's of the film.
Focus is right. good. Better right.
It's more about Jeremy Renner's
Yeah, but character. She does do great. She's fine. But this is not her movie.
Right. right.
So she comes on the scene.
And then she needs Jeremy Renner's help to track down the killer.
Well, even before that, I like the interaction in the morgue.
Yeah.
Because as it's determined,
right.
I guess this isn't the plot point to even really discuss. I just like the scene so much.
Right. With the doctor.
The doctor, the mortician is in there, and he says, you know, from his job's perspective, he can't rule this a homicide.
Right.
Because the cause of death was clearly that she died from the weather conditions.
Yeah, like basically the blood, the way he describes it, and this does play into later in the film as well, which is why they have this scene. The ending's fucking great.
Yeah.
But basically what happens is that
when she's
running, because in the beginning you see her running full out to get away from somebody, and she's running, and he said basically what happens is the blood crystallizes and then like the lungs start filling up with blood and she basically drowned in her own blood. And he's like, so yeah, she was raped.
He's basically like, look, it's clear. We all know this was a murder.
Right.
But
I can't write
from
homicide.
An autopsy perspective.
Right.
It was the condition she was in that killed her. And that's what I have to write.
Right.
And because of that,
Elizabeth Olsen
cannot request
backup
from the FBI. In fact, she's technically supposed to leave.
Right.
But she decides to stay and
right.
get help from Jeremy Renner
right.
to find out what happened,
right.
to track the killer.
And through working on this case, Jeremy Renner also works through some trauma that he's had in his life,
that's
which
right.
we won't go into because we don't want to spoil anything.
I'm not sure that's spoiling, but yeah, that's fine.
Right.
I mean, it's a plot point of the movie.
Right. So. But you can kind of figure out what it is.
There is a reason why he's divorced.
Right. Yeah.
And it's not because they don't love each other.
Exactly. And it's a very straightforward movie. There is one interesting twist that's revealed in a flashback. So there's an interesting twist.
Sorry, I forgot that whole scene was a big flashback.
Yeah, right.
It was a long scene.
It was. There's an interesting twist in the flashback that kind of explains what happened.
Wait, it's explaining what happened.
Exactly what happened.
So that it, which is great that it gives you, it plays it out in a flashback.
Right, yeah.
Very powerful.
Yeah, scene. yeah, very powerful scene. And it's a very straight ahead movie, but it's just really, really well
made. Yeah, that's the thing. There's not, like, you say that's a twist. It is a bit of a twist, but it's not like some kind of M. Night type of twist. Like,
oh, no.
It's
no,
a very
no.
organic twist.
Yeah, yeah.
And to figuring out what has happened. But you're right. Like, this story is basically told, very straightforward storyline. It's just told very well.
Yeah. Yeah, Sheridan knows what he's doing. Right. He's a great screenwriter.
It is a detective type of story, but not the traditional detective type of story, because the way this is tracked, it's more physical tracking.
Right, yeah.
As opposed to, let me find a clue somewhere and figure out what that means. It's more of a direct, literally a direct track.
And it's also a great film because it really speaks to the plight of Native Americans in this country.
It's one of those things where you don't hear about, you certainly don't talk about.
No. Because they don't make movies like
until
that.
Until once a decade, some kind of movie like this will come out, which kind of, even this one, it's not going to bring it up to a wide audience.
Cause
unfortunately, people aren't seeing this movie.
Yeah.
And that's marketing, because I didn't hear
this movie really should have come out in the fall. Yeah. This should have been a fall movie. This shouldn't have come out. Not because of Oscar consideration. It's just the story's so freaking somber. Yeah. I think they were trying to go for the Hell or High Water thing.
Right.
Whereas Hell or High Water was more of like it's more of a cowboy movie almost, you know, with the shoot 'em up and the bank robbing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you're right. This is way, way more of a darker tone.
This is more in line. This is almost like and this makes sense because he wrote Sicario. This is more of like a Villeneuve movie. It's very, very, a lot of stuff going on underneath the surface.
And, undertones are more what this movie is about than it is directly what
the undertones.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I mean, the cast was great.
Oh, the cast is great.
Everyone was awesome.
I gotta give a shout out also to Gil Birmingham, who plays Martin, who was Natalie's father. He has some great scenes with Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
I like their last scene together too.
That was really good. I gotta wipe this shit off my face.
Wash this shit off my face. That was
great.
I was just making it up. I don't know what's going on.
No, his initial scene with Elizabeth Olsen was it was poignant, and then it had the funny moment where he's like, what he just said to her about, you seem that old or something like that. Mm-hmm. Very funny. But no, the movie, it calls out how different that culture remains and isolated.
Yeah.
Like, they've isolated themselves, rightfully so, from being considered U.S. citizens, because, of course, to them, this land is all stolen from them. And one of the things, you know, it's not directly called out of, but it's an eye roll for me of how shitty we treat them, is that, look at the land we gave back to them.
Right.
It's this shitty tundra land that can be used for nothing else.
Right, yeah.
And this is what they're forced to live on.
Yeah.
Because this is what the fucking, you know, chicken scratch that we throw after stealing their entire culture's land.
Hey, but remember, the white Christian man is the most discriminated against in this
true.
Country right
That's
now.
True. That's very true.
Give me a fucking break.
So it's interesting, the setting.
Yeah.
Because it's real,
right?
But you're like, literally, who would want to live here? You're like, why do they live here? Who would want to live here? And then you're like, it hits you. Oh, they're pretty much forced to live here.
Yeah,
this is all they have.
Yeah, I mean, there's a postscript at the end of the movie that talks about
how
many Native American girls
are
missing.
Oh my god,
missing.
That's so sad. Yeah, where it's like none of the, like there's they said it basically says there are records for everything, more or less, in this country. But there are zero records for how many Native American girls are going missing every year.
Right, yeah.
It's so sad.
It is. But Wind River, I almost did it. Wind River is, it's a winner. Definitely check out that movie.
It really is. Really, and he, it may, it, He might get an Oscar nomination for
maybe for a screenplay.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
The only thing I didn't like about his direction, the one thing I didn't like, there was way too much shaky cam, especially in the beginning.
Was there?
I was like, okay.
After I'd
also just seen Logan Lucky, I'm just like,
oh, it didn't God. Catch me, but okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, this screenplay, it's an awesome story.
It's a good movie,
and it's
really good. It's one of the best movies. There
are not many faults you can give it. Yeah. I mean, it's very solid.
Yeah.
See this movie.
Yeah, it's definitely one of my.
It sucks. It sucks that it's not garnering more attention.
Right. It's one of my favorites of the summer.
Yeah.
Which is reminds me probably to do that episode too at some point.
Oh, yeah. We got a backlog.
Because last year we didn't. I don't think we did that episode because last year was so disappointing as summer movies go. But this year, I mean, there's been a ton of great movies this summer.
Maybe we could dovetail the fall preview in with the best of the summer.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah. Yeah, because fall preview, that's coming up fast too. I gotta work on that. The Entertainment Weekly issue is out.
No.
With Rey and Luke Skywalker on the cover. Oh, Last Jedi. Can't wait.
Meh, whatever.
It's funny, I was writing out the list of all the movies that I'm interested in. It's a long list, like 40 fucking movies. I'm like, oh God, like I'm not going to write about all these. But of course, the number one circled is like, Star Wars!
Oh yeah.
I already requested the day off.
I swear to God, it doesn't matter how many times they
burn us.
They disappoint us. We're going to be so clamoring for that next one.
I got to be honest. I mean, I'm going to go see the Han Solo movie because I love Han Solo. But if The Last Jedi is somehow not good, Episode 9, I might be like, I'll see it when I see it. Because that'll now be two series that he burned me.
Honestly, I say the canon movies, but I'm more the episodic movies. It's the Han Solo movie right now that I'm like,
whatever. Oh, no, for sure.
I'm like, whatever. It's
right.
It's an unnecessary movie, but outside, they're all going to be unnecessary at this point.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they won't be good,
right.
By the way. I'm not disputing that it's right. Gonna be a bad movie. It's just the beginning of what I already know is gonna be an onslaught of Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm.
I worry it's gonna kill the love I have for that.
Yeah.
For Star Wars. Right?
Yeah.
I mean
anyway. We'll always have Empire Strikes Back.
That's right.
And hopefully this will not be a direct rip off of the Empire.
Oh, right, right, yeah, oh, yeah. God, it's like what? Who was it? The Red Letter Media, the Dirty Little Secret. Red Letter Media says yeah. They don't have any other things to pull from other than the Death Star.
But the thing is, though, I was thinking about that, you know, and they could make excellent movies in that timeline.
Yeah.
Just get it away from those characters that we know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know what? It's. They don't have it to draw from. Well, no, but you can create.
Right.
You create the story. That's what you do, right?
I mean, the Empire was in power for, what, 20 fucking years?
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell plenty of movies in that time period. So, that has nothing to do with Han Solo and Princess Leia and Obi-Wan Kenobi and Luke. Oh, that's the other thing we didn't mention. They finally confirmed, Lucasfilm finally confirmed, that the next Solo movie, whatever, will be Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's right. We did forget to mention that.
Yeah, we did forget to mention that.
Could be good. We knew it was coming.
I mean, if they don't get Ewan McGregor, it's like,
fucking,
what the fuck are you doing?
Why bother? He was the best part about, the only
prequels.
Good part about the prequels.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it's not like, that's almost giving him a low bar. No, he did great. He's awesome as Obi-Wan. So it'd be cool to see him again.
Yeah.
In that role. But again, I'm just not super excited yet.
Right.
So we'll see.
People have argued that they've already done that movie on the Rebels cartoon. They already did that movie where Darth Maul comes back for some fucking stupid reason. But and that's the thing that pisses me off, because we were talking about that with Matt on the last episode, how he doesn't like when they bring characters back from the dead, and I agree with that for most things. But it's like, I don't know why Star Wars fans are like, it's so cool they brought Darth Maul back. I'm like, why? It's like he's just a face with a double lightsaber and Phantom Menace. I don't know why people.
Because he could have been better.
But I mean,
he could have been better, and maybe people wanted to see him as more.
I guess.
Anyway, we'll see.
Yeah, we will.
Speaking of science fiction stories that are played out in front of people,
yes,
that leads us into our next movie.
You could just say, speaking of Luke Skywalker.
That's true.
Yeah, Brigsby Bear.
Have you not heard of that one? Oh, imagine that.
Brigsby Bear was a big hit, I think, at Sundance.
Yes, it was. It was very acclaimed at Sundance.
It's
written and directed by, or sorry.
No, no, it's
written by it's Kyle Mooney.
Let me pull up my IMDb. It's not responding here. It's directed by Dave McCary. Yeah.
Written by Kyle Mooney.
And it's written by Kevin Costello and Kyle Mooney of Saturday Night Live. And Kyle Mooney stars in it as well. I don't know how much we should give away in this because the biggest... Did you know anything about this movie before you went to go see it?
Minimal.
Okay.
About this movie. I had ascertained from the scene I'd seen online what was happening.
Right.
I assumed
that
it was clear that he was...
Right.
Yeah. I don't know how much you give away, but how do we can't talk about it?
You can't talk about it unless you give that away.
You can't because it happens all within the first 5 minutes.
That's true.
Slight spoiler alert, because this, you can't talk about this movie without talking about a major plot point in the movie.
That happens in the first 15 minutes.
First opening act of the movie. But essentially, Kyle Mooney is a mid-20s, 20-some-year-old, boy who's living with his parents in what's clearly like a fallout shelter.
Yeah.
Okay. And the only thing he has to watch on TV is a show called Brigsby Bear.
Right.
And it's when the movie opens up, it's clear that, I mean, he's got like a Brigsby Bear shirt on. He's got posters up on the wall. He's watching it. He's studying it. It's how he learns his lessons of life, like whether it be math or English. He learns it through these Brigsby Bear tapes.
I don't want to give away one of the best jokes in the movie, so I won't.
What you come to find out is that,
and he has, I mean, he watches them on video cassette. And he has hundreds
of
tapes.
It's like 700 and some odd episodes within these volumes of tapes.
Right.
Okay. And what you come to find out is he's not allowed to go outside because his parents have told him
it's toxic outside.
The air is toxic. And so when he does happen to go outside, just every now and again, he's wearing a gas mask.
Right.
But he doesn't venture away from the shelter that they're in. Well, as it turns out, of course, these aren't his real parents. They abducted him at a young age.
When he was a baby.
When he was a baby, like some months old.
No, not even. Like from the hospital. It's from the hospital.
Okay, so yeah. He was stolen as a baby by this couple.
Who's played by Jane Addams, plays the mother, April.
Which,
and Mark Hamill plays the
father.
Which
is what you say, speaking of Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, Mark Hamill plays the father, Ted.
Right. So, yeah, so they abducted him in the movie. Basically, in the first act, the police have found him,
right,
and have taken him away from these people who are claiming to be his parents, who he's known his whole life,
right.
And of course, as it turns out, the whole Brigsby Bear show that he's built his life on, and the only thing he's known,
right.
And it taught
him stuff.
Taught him, right? That's what I'm saying. Math, English, everything, right. Moral lessons,
sexuality,
sexuality. Everything that
only touch your penis twice a day.
Everything that he's learned and been and known to date is Brigsby Bear.
Right.
All right. And what he comes to find out, along with the audience, but the audience pretty much knows, is that Brigsby Bear was created by his faux parents just for him.
By Mark Hamill.
By Mark Hamill and the lady who plays his wife.
Right.
So he's the only one who's ever seen this show, Brigsby Bear. Right. It's all he knows, but no one else has ever even fucking heard of it.
It's like if you knew Star Wars, but nobody had ever seen Star Wars.
If Star Wars had been created on a silent stage just for you,
right,
and you watch it for 25 years of your life, but no one else had ever heard of it, and now you're out in the real world trying to explain these things and asking, where's Brigsby Bear?
Right.
And people are having to tell you, what the fuck are you talking about? This is Brigsby Bear. But it's an absurd-esque type of premise.
Mm-hmm.
But the genius of it is how Kyle Mooney plays it.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't play it like an idiot savant.
No,
He plays it like...
He's socially awkward.
He's just socially awkward.
Because he's never met anybody
else.
And
he plays it really well in this movie.
And the other thing is, too, is, like, they were very strange parents as well. Like, they would do stuff like, when they're at dinner, like, they pray to, not necessarily God, but they pray to somebody. And then they stand up and they shake hands. And they say, it's almost like it's like an alien religion or something like that they have. It's weird. So they've stunted his development, basically. By keeping him locked up in this house. One of the funniest scenes in the film, because this is a comedy. I mean, this isn't like, you know, this isn't some deep drama, which is one of the minor faults I had with it, because I felt they could have mined a little bit more drama from it, because his situation is very traumatic. One of the funniest scenes in the film is when they say, "Did they touch you?" And he's like, Yes, they touched me. He would hug me sometimes.
They would be like, right. Hello, and they'd shake each other's hands. Right. And so, yeah, the police officer was like, "Did he touch you?"
It's
like,
all the time.
We shake hands like this. And he'd be like, "Oh, okay." It was very funny.
The detective is Greg Kinnear is a detective. Matt.
Now, that character was the most absurd to me because it didn't fully work for me because it's, don't get me wrong. It's not that I didn't like him because it works in this world right. that was created. But he's the one that stand out who's just like, he's a little too hokey.
Right. Yeah,
he's the one character that is a little too hokey.
Matt Walsh plays his real father.
Oh, so good.
And Michaela Watkins plays his mother. His sister is played by Ryan Simpkins, who was just in The House with Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler. Alexa Demi plays Meredith, who is, I guess, the sister's best friend. And then Jorge Lindeborg Jr. plays Spencer, who becomes James. That's Kyle Mooney's character's name. He becomes James's best friend. And basically...
This movie has to be short. It needs to be short. Mm. It's a perfect length, but that does rush that friendship a little bit along.
Oh, sure.
Like, because it's like immediately that, like...
Well, because what happens
is... Well, they do bond over this one thing.
Right. Brings me bear.
Well, even before that, it's like bonding over the fact that I want to make a movie.
Right.
You know how to make a movie.
Right. And that becomes... After he gets out and is back at the house, the plot becomes that... Kyle Mooney never got to see the next episode of Brigsby Bear.
Right.
And now he wants to basically finish the story and create a movie and finish the story.
Not that next episode was going to be the finished movie,
right.
But he
right.
wants to, he wants a, he wants to finish Brigsby Bear.
Right.
Which, you know, is basically, is really becomes a metaphor for, he needs his chapter of his life closed.
Right, exactly.
So that he can move on with his real life.
Right, and it's and that's part of it. It's also a great message for people to follow their dreams and, you know, and being creative and following, you know, doing stuff like that, you know, and how it's worthwhile and all this kind of stuff. Claire Danes is also in this.
Actually, I take it back. She's the worst character for me because psychologist, she would know better than to treat him the way, whereas you just need to get rid of Brigsby Bear.
Right,
not the way a psychologist, within right. the span of a couple of weeks,
right,
that's not the way a psychologist would work at all.
Right.
She would actually encourage
right.
the fact that he would want to
right.
do this because, you know, so that character completely didn't work for
right.
me. But yeah, anyway, she basically treats him like he's crazy.
Right.
And that he needs to go into right. a
and that's,
hospital.
And that's, you know, kind of what I was saying, that I felt that they could have mined a little bit more drama from this story instead of making it completely kind of absurd.
And I think...
It's a very sweet movie.
It is very sweet. I think they just decided they needed to, with a movie like this, they needed to choose a tone to stick with it.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But then the other thing is, if they had done that, they would have had to make it longer.
Yeah.
Which... might feel dragging
maybe,
for a story
maybe.
Like this. It's this with a movie like this, it's a fine line to walk with how long you make the movie and what you can do with the time that you have.
Right, yeah.
But man, it's a really good movie for what it was.
It was really good. I liked it a lot. I laughed a lot at it.
I mean, it's not going to be like one of my favorite of the year or anything, but
right.
Man, it was a very solid movie for what it was.
For me, B+. I mean, it was very sweet, very...
So that is the upper echelon of the year then.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of A.
You're right. This movie was a big year for good movies. But yeah, I'd absolutely say B+. It's a really good movie.
It's a really sweet film.
Sadly, I think it'll be a forgettable movie.
Probably.
Even for myself, saying like I'll probably forget about it in a couple months.
But. I think that I could see this movie showing up on Netflix and becoming like a cult hit.
Yeah,
on Netflix,
sure. But like I said, Kyle Mooney plays his part really well.
Yeah, he's really good.
Straight man.
Yeah.
It could have easily gone the route of, not that these movies didn't have their place in their day, but it could easily gone the route of like an Adam Sandler type of movie, where it's just completely wacky and absurd.
Right.
Whereas Kyle Mooney takes this crazy idea and has the character play it completely straight.
Yeah.
But not in a wacky way, but in an awkward way, like he really would, like someone like that really would, would be.
Yeah.
So when he's when the daughter's friend, they're like making out, he's like, oh, it feels very good down there. Okay, thank you very much. And he like walks away, and then like fucking days later, he's like, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. I really don't want to get married or anything. You're like, oh my god. She's like, oh, that's fine. I don't want to get married either. Oh, I'm good.
It's a relief.
It's so funny. I mean, there is just lots of, honestly, like this is, I was actually glad I saw this movie by myself.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those movies I was glad I got to feel by myself and just have my own feelings, just me at the screen. It's basically me and one other guy. The only shitty thing about this was this guy had this fucking paper bag that he brought candy in, just kept just me and him, he just kept crinkling up to the point where I just took my popcorn bag and started going being real passive aggressive until he finally shut the fuck up. But you know, I got to experience a movie, I have my emotions just for me on the screen, and it really helped me enjoy the movie more. I laughed when I really wanted to, and I teared up at parts. I
mean, it's a very sweet movie. So yeah, Brigsby Bear, we'd say go see it in theaters, but you probably can't find it. So.
Yeah, sadly, this is that independent type of movie that's going to show up for a couple weeks.
Not even. It was there for a week.
I just mean in general.
Right, yeah.
Any given theater. I didn't mean here. And then it'll be gone the way of the dodo and you'll never hear from it again.
I mean, it could be at one of like the indie theaters. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. I could see this gathering more of an audience on Netflix. It almost felt like a Netflix original movie
instead.
It felt like that would be more of an avenue for it.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it hit the screen.
And
good for them for making it.
Yeah.
Original movies like this are so fucking hard to come by.
Yeah.
When they can make them and make them well.
Yep.
I'm just so happy to see it because every time I see it and see how poorly it does at the box office, because they don't give it the marketing that it's due.
Well,
this would be hard to market anyway.
But it's hard because you don't want to give away
but
the twist.
But in general, every time I see
that,
I lament like this is just one more nail in the coffin for independent movies ever getting made and released widely.
Yeah.
But they keep coming slowly, so good.
Yeah. Yeah, so that'll do it for this episode of the Hodgepodge Podcast.
That's what it sounded like. Constantly. Are you trying to... Is someone trying to pay attention to you right now?
All right, stop. That will be edited out. Look what you did. Look at the sound waves
spikes.
And look what you did. Go see Logan Lucky on a matinee.
Or don't. It's
or,
either or.
Or stay home and watch Ocean's 11. Whichever.
No, whatever. It's a good movie.
Definitely see Wind River.
Yes.
And... check out Brigsby Bear
whenever you possibly can.
When you can find Brigsby Bear, watch it.
It's a quirky,
yeah.
What's the word you used? Sweet. Sweet movie.
Yeah. Next episode, not sure. It'll probably be our fall preview, I guess, and maybe best of the summer.
No, yeah, I don't even think any movies come out this coming weekend.
I don't think so.
Because it's Labor Day weekend. I don't think anything really
is. Yeah, coming up is Labor Day weekend. Nothing's really going to be coming out. And then the week after
good
that.
Good for you, because you won't be around.
That's right. Yeah, I'm going to Dragon Con.
Woo!
Woo! Oh, by the way, I don't think I mentioned that either. The new DuckTales is awesome. I saw the first episode is free on YouTube. And
if you're 13 year old or younger, you can enjoy it along with 40 year old Doug Simpson.
It was fantastic. It was so good. They nailed it.
I can't bring myself to watch DuckTales.
They nailed it. It's so good.
I'm glad to hear that though. That's good.
And, yeah,
with Tenet, the voices.
Oh yeah. He's really good. Yeah. They're all really good. It's really, really great. So check out DuckTales. Like I said, it's free on Disney. I mean, Disney. It's not like a bootleg thing. Disney. Right. Disney put it out. Disney XD.
XD. That's
look for them on YouTube, and they'll have it on there. And it's crystal clear and looks great. So yeah, we'll see you next time, folks. Thanks for listening.